Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Kind of says it all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, Jesus did not come back yesterday, but that doesn't mean that he could not come today. Amen. He can come at any moment. And so the message of Scripture concerning the coming of the Lord is not to pinpoint a day and give everybody some kind of alert and sound an alarm and have everybody poised for it. The message of Scripture is to be ready. Amen. To be ready. You know, if Jesus didn't come back for 100 years, it doesn't mean that you don't need to be ready to meet him. Because you're one heartbeat away from meeting Jesus. Can you say, man, you don't need to pinpoint prophecy to be stimulated to be ready. You're one heartbeat away from meeting Jesus. I'm one heartbeat away. If my heart stops in the next few moments, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to stand before the Lord. Amen. I'm going to leave this body and I'm going somewhere. Death is not going to end me. We talk about the resurrection of the just and the saints, but that's not the only resurrection. The Bible is very, very clear. In the book of Revelation, there's the resurrection of the unjust. Everyone is going to be resurrected. Everybody. John said, I was looking and the sea gave up her dead. Amen. Isn't that incredible? Everybody that's ever died at sea, you know, they took bin Laden and they gave him a burial at sea. But there's a day coming when Mr. Bin Laden is going to be reconstituted. Amen. And come forth out of the sea, according to the book of Revelation. You say, well, how's God going to pull that off? Well, how many expect to go to heaven? Amen. How's he going to reconstitute you? Can you say amen? God's got your DNA. Amen. The very hair of your head is numbered. And he goes deeper than that. He's got your DNA. Praise God. What's the comedian we were talking about the other day and his kids? You wasn't here. Who were we talking about? Bill Cosby. I love his, how many's ever raised any kids? How many know you love them even though you talk like you could, you know, do away with them sometimes? But you really love them. Well, lay down your life for them. But kids can get on your nerves at some point. The kids are all out. I can talk this way now. Amen. Precious little things. They don't think they could ever do that, but they can sometimes. Bill Cosby talking about his son getting on his nerves to the point. He said, if you don't quit that, he said, I'll do away with you and make another one just like you. I can have more kids. Amen. God's got your DNA. God doesn't make another one just like you. He reconstitutes you. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said of God that he is able to subdue everything unto himself. You know, people scratch their head when they read the Bible, some of the things that God did. And even theologians that don't have faith in God, and there are so-called theologians that don't believe in the miracles of the Bible. They don't believe the Red Sea actually parted. They believe it was low tide. And a little kid, amen, had the best answer for that. They said, well, it was at low tide, and they waded across in knee-deep water, amen, because there were certain winds that blew from a certain direction. The moon was in a certain place, and it really wasn't a miracle. I think it was a little boy, a little girl that heard them talking that way and said, well, the miracle's even greater than I thought to begin with, because God drowned Pharaoh's army, chariots, and horses in knee-deep water. Can you say amen? Amen. Isn't that incredible? Hallelujah. Amen. They don't want to accept the fact that God is God. If God created the heaven and the earth, he can do these things. If he didn't create it, then he can do nothing. In fact, you could have a good case for, does he even exist? But the Bible said, go out and look up at the starry, starry night and listen to the declaration of the universe. The universe in precise order. Amen. If we were out just a smidgen, the universe goes into chaos. It's in an order, and it's divinely ordered, and the heavens declare his handiwork. And the firmament declares his handiwork. Praise God. I used to work for Tampa Electric, and we were out on a line crew way out in the boondocks years ago, and it was a beautiful, beautiful winter night. It was cold, and wires had come down. We put the wires up. We're getting ready to go back in. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning. It's dead still way out in the boondocks, and we were in a clearing where you could see that clear winter night. You could see every star twinkling. And we're just standing there. Everybody, two of us were Christian and three of them were not. But we're all awestruck by the beauty. Nobody saying anything to anybody. We're just all standing, staring at the heavens. And this other guy that I was with, he said, look at that, fellas. He said, to think that just happened. That's just a random universal act with no intelligent design behind it. He said it would be like taking a perfectly functioning a timepiece, regardless of the brand, but perfectly functioning timepiece, putting it into a paper sack, taking a hammer and beating on that sack until you've just broke that thing into 1,000 pieces. And then reach in that sack, randomly pull out of that 1,000 pieces, a perfectly functioning timepiece. That's how far-fetched it is to say, that just happened. However, I do, as I say all the time, believe in the Big Bang Theory. Amen. God said, let there be a firmament, and bang, there was a firmament. Amen. Hallelujah. He couldn't be God. We're ridiculous sitting here today praying to some religious philosophy of man, something that man created because he can't handle death and he can't handle his finite life here. No, God is real. Heaven is real. The earth is real, praise God. He made it. And so I want to talk to you about some of the things he's going to do. He's going to come again. He's going to come again. He's going to come just like he said. I did it. And so the fact that he didn't come, when so many have said it, it was even on the news about what I said last week, 88 reasons why Christ will return in 1988. Looked like people would learn, but they just don't seem to ever learn. I want to read you some of the predictions. I want you to listen to this. Amen. I'm going to tell you he could come at any moment. The Bible wants you to live in a state of readiness, not only for his coming. Listen, if you're ready to die right now, if you're ready to die, if you're sitting in this room ready to die, if you drew your last breath, if you knew you'd go into the presence of God, and there's no doubt about it, and you can know that, can you say amen? 1 John said, I've written these things to you that you might know that you have eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. And his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. You can know this. In fact, you better know it. You need to know it. And if you don't know it, you can know it before you leave here today. Isn't that incredible? You can know. You can get saved today. Praise God. The little children's Sunday school song said, if you're saved and you know it, say amen. 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 Well, we can say amen because we know it. How do you know, Brother Venable? Because we've done what he said, amen, that we needed to do to be ready for his coming, to be ready to die and go into his presence. We've received his son as our Savior, confessed our sins. Praise God. Hallelujah. I hadn't got over that. I guess you can tell it. Praise the Lord. It's not old to me yet. Been saved and knew it since I was 21 going on 22. Got saved and fell away when I was 12, but got saved and knew it when I was 21 going on 22. We just celebrated 48 years of marriage, and when I got saved, that marriage was in trouble. It was under stress and duress, and there's no way we'd have made it through it. Listen, Prince Charming did not wake Sleeping Beauty, and we did not ride off on a white steed. I didn't even own a Mustang. Can you say amen? I owned a Pontiac Straight 8. A big old long blunderbuss that the transmission went out on my honeymoon afternoon. I went to Brandon to get hamburgers and french fries for our wedding supper. Listen, when you're 16 and 14, you ain't thinking about caviar and prime rib. You're thinking about hamburger and french fries. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Pulled into the Sip and Smack. That was the name of it, the Sip and Smack in Brandon. Amen. Ordered hamburgers and french fries. Amen. I still do that. Celebrate our anniversary. Go to Mickey D's. Tell them to supersize everything. Can you say, man, it's my anniversary? No, I did better than that. Praise God. But anyway, I wanted to stay married anyway. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pull into the Sip and Smack and my transmission goes out. get my fries and my hamburgers, headed home to my bride, spending their honeymoon night, and my transmission, when I put it in reverse, it just tore up. And I'm sitting there with hamburger and fries and my wife waiting at home. We don't have a telephone at where she's at. We borrowed my uncle's little old travel trailer thingy for our honeymoon to get away from everybody else. We couldn't go to Hawaii. Can you say, man, we couldn't leave. Fact is, we couldn't get out of Sefner Mango area. Exotic place for our honeymoon. I try to make it up to her every chance that I get, but we've been married 48 years, and it isn't because we were just made for one another, and we just have this perfect life. And Prince Charming, you know, the Disney, we didn't have the Disney thing going on. Amen. What saved our marriage saved our souls. What saved our marriage saved our lives, and it was meeting Jesus and both of us committing our life to Him and letting Him fill that place I'm talking about, that you think you found a person to fill that place. And listen, the reason marriages work is because we realize no person can fill that place. Amen. Amen. We can let God fill His rightful place in us and give us that living water. And then the demand on that person isn't so heavy, because that person can't be what only God can be. My wife has a powerful place in my life, but she can't take God's place in my life. And because Jesus fulfills me, I can quit trying to make her be more than she could possibly be to me. Hallelujah. And appreciate her just like she is. And she's she's meat for me. Praise God. She balances me out. When I talk too much, she steps in to let me know. And I appreciate it. Because y'all are too afraid to step in. So anyway. Amen. Well, you might. Maybe not you. But she looked at me. I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid of nothing. I love you. I love you. Praise God. You can give me that look anytime you want. I won't pay no attention to it. Just like your husband. He knows that look, don't you, sir? Yeah, you know that look. Okay. Amen. God is so good. I can't get past the joy of this. The predictions are fulfilling prophecy. The mispredictions fulfill prophecy. In the last day, scoffers shall come walking after their own lust, saying, where's the sign of His coming? All these people have come from all these prominent ministries and places and put timetables on the coming of the Lord. We're told biblically not to do that. I don't know why Bible teachers don't get that. Amen. It's a fundamental biblical truth that no man knows the day or the hour, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. It follows the pattern of the Jewish wedding. Once the espousal had taken place, and by the way, an espousal has taken place. Do you know that? Paul said to those Christians that had come to Christ under His ministry, I've espoused you, amen, unto one husband, that I may present you to Christ as a chaste virgin. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? You get to wear white again. Can you say, man? And mean it. Praise God. No matter what sins you've committed, you get to wear white again. Amen. Because the Bible said that we're going to put on something called a wedding garment in Scripture. And it's white raiment, clean and white. Now, not one of us, amen, can present ourselves in that condition. But when we put on His righteousness, can you say, man? Hallelujah. It is clean and white. We get to start it. We get to stand in His presence as if we had never sinned. Praise God. What a privilege. What a glorious day that's going to be. Can you say, man? And being found in Him, Paul said, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That means keeping everything to the letter. He said it can't be that way because nobody could do that. If anyone could achieve that, Christ didn't need to come and He didn't need to die on the cross. But the law was our schoolmaster to do what? To bring us to God. Hallelujah. Amen. To cause us to confess our need for a Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why at the cross we stand on a common ground. The Bible said there's no male nor female at the foot of the cross. Amen. Right here, there's male and female. There's distinctions made between male and female in this room. But at the foot of the cross, there's neither male nor female. Hallelujah. Now, don't go to the unisex bathroom just because that says that. Amen. I mean, don't. That's crazy. I don't know why I said it, but it just came to me, you know. Somebody said, I'm neither male nor female. Where do I go to the bathroom? This is spiritually speaking. Amen? There's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither Jew nor Greek, the scripture said. For we are one in Jesus Christ. Oh, let me go a little further here and say, there's no black or white. Amen. We look around and we see people with different color tones. If there was someone from Asia here, from China, maybe someone will come to the United States that have got saved through the website. We get a lot of people downloaded in China. We may, honestly, someone may show up from China looking for the church where they heard the gospel. Hallelujah. If they ever come to America. And someone with a yellow tone skin will come in. Someone from Iceland or Norway may come and look a little different from us. But in Jesus' eyes, he doesn't see any color. He doesn't see cultural status either. There's no rich or poor in his sight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If the governor of the state came here, we don't take one of these chairs from here and we place it up here and say, you sit here. We don't do that because the Bible said if we start doing that, we commit sin because we do something God doesn't. That show respect to persons because of their officer status. Can you say amen? No, we all have to come humbly. We all have to become the same at the foot of the cross. And the glory is, like my wife said, there's no big people in here, little people. No big shot, no little shot. We're one in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a blood-bought, blood-washed son of God because of forgiveness, because of what God has done for me. And when you come to Christ, you're the same thing. And the fact that I preach and God gave me some understanding of Scripture, amen, it doesn't make me better than anybody in this room or closer to God than anybody. Amen? You're as close as you really want to be. Well, let's look at this real quick. Looking back at how Christians have viewed Christ's second coming in the past, listen to the people obsessed with trying to make predictions and how they have failed. Here's a quote. The last days are upon us. Weigh carefully the times. Look for him who is above all time, eternal and invisible. That statement was not made by a modern prophecy expert. That statement did not come from religious television broadcast. It was made by a Christian named Ignatius, who lived in 110 AD, almost 2,000 years ago. Just a few decades after 1 John was written. Here's another quote. There is no doubt that the Antichrist has already been born. Firmly established in his early years, he will, after reaching maturity, achieve supreme power. That statement, again, wasn't made by a radio prophecy teacher that recently made this prediction. It was written by a Christian named Martin, living in 375 AD. Isn't that incredible? He missed it. In the year 236 AD, a church leader named Hippolytus predicted that Christ was sure to return by 500 A.D. The years between 999 and 1030 A.D. were characterized by excessive speculation about Christ's coming among Christians. So much that it led to social chaos because farmers didn't plant crops for the next year. Buildings weren't repaired. The details of daily life were neglected because they thought Jesus would return so soon there was no need to invest. I'm going to tell you a little personal thing about me. All I had to do was say, oh, I don't feel good. And my parents, my dad and my grandparents, they let me stay home. They didn't see any value in an education, me going to school. You know why? Because Jesus is going to be back before he ever grows up. He's not going to need an education. Amen. Isn't that incredible? I mean, they were good intended. They were reacting and responding to the message of be ready for an hour you think not the Son of Man cometh. The problem is, they didn't understand what Jesus said. A day is 1,000 years with the Lord. This is what they don't understand. And 1,000 years is a day. But what he wanted of the church is to live in a state of readiness. Because this is not just about when he comes literally back for us. This is about when our heart stops. If you're ready right now for your heart to stop beating, you're ready for the coming of Jesus. There's nothing more you can do to get ready. Because if you're ready for your heart to stop, you have a salvation experience. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And if you're not ready for your heart to stop, You need to get it before you leave here. Because your heart can stop any time. Amen. Everybody's not 122 out there in the graveyard. Amen. In fact, there's no promise given you of tomorrow. None. Zero. Zilch. Scripture said, go to now, ye that say, we shall go into this city and we shall build this. We shall go into this city and get into that business enterprise. We shall tomorrow, we shall do this. Tomorrow, we shall do that. He said, you don't know what another day is going to bring. Can you say, man, you have no promise of tomorrow. You have a promise of eternity, but you don't have a promise of tomorrow. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. Amen. I don't even want to see the hourglass running. Amen. I just want to live every day as if it was my last day. Amen. Live in the light of His soon coming. Live in the light of the fact that I'm saved. And I like the little children's prayer. It's so full of faith. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, it's okay. It's a win-win. Can you say, everybody say it's a win-win. I pray the Lord what? My soul to take. So I'm going to lay down. If I don't wake up here, I'm going to wake up there. Amen, during the Civil War, there was a man wounded mortally, and they were going to try to save him. But the doctor told him when he came with the ether back then to put him to sleep while they sawed off a mangled leg, and he had lost so much blood. A field doctor, they told him, said, you only have a 50-50 chance of surviving. I want you to know that before you go under. The doctor is really trying to say, don't hold me responsible. I've got to do something, but what I'm doing here may not save your life. You've got a 50-50 chance. And the young man had made his peace with God, and he looked the doctor calmly in the eye, and he said to the doctor, doctor, go ahead and do what you must. Because if I wake up here, Christ will be with me. And if I don't wake up here, I will be with Christ. Can you say amen? Everybody say it's a win-win. Glory be to God. Oh no, this is not about what kind of car you drive or how much wealth you can accumulate. This is far beyond anything that money can buy. For you were not redeemed with something corruptible like silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers. Can you say amen? But you were redeemed. I was redeemed with the precious blood of a lamb. Can you say amen? That's what church is all about. It's not about competing with the world for their wealth. Amen. It's having something that money can't buy. Amen. And can't even be put in the category with it. That's why it astonished Jesus when people would take materialism and try to set it aside and weigh out. And he said, but what would a man give in exchange for his eternal soul? What's it worth? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul, having food and raiment and salvation? Therewith, he says to Christians, be content. Don't worry about the Joneses. Who are these Joneses anyway? And why do we compete with them and compare with them? Can you say, man? I don't know how it is with the Joneses. And if you're a Jones here today, I'm not talking about you personally. Amen. Don't get mad at me, okay? Not for that anyway. You'll find other things to get mad at me about, but not that. Listen at me carefully. Amen. What are you after? What turns you on? Amen. Is it salvation? You know what David said when he came back to the Lord? He said, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, your deliverance. That's what I want back in my life. Can you say, man? Listen carefully. They miss it, and they miss it, and they miss it, and they miss it, and they miss it again. Did a series not long ago on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The way there's such an example in the Old Testament when a servant is sent out to get a bride and bring that bride back. And all the way back, the servant is telling the bride about the man that he's bringing her back to marry. She's coming back sight unseen. Amen. But all the way back, and this was a long journey back, many, many miles and many, many days on the journey. And all the way back, Rebecca is hearing about this wonderful man. Amen. And she starts to love him before she even sees him. Isn't that an incredible, beautiful story of love? Amen. Because someone is so telling somebody about this person that without seeing them, they begin to fall in love with them. Incredible example of what was supposed to be happening in Christianity. Amen. Sight unseen, she begins to love him. Amen. And so all the way back on that journey, the servant, and the servant is not even named. Reminds me so much of the Holy Spirit, because when he comes, he won't speak of himself. Amen. He's going to testify of Jesus. Can you say, man, he's going to talk about Jesus. Praise God. When that bride is coming back, because the Father said, it's time for my son to have a bride. He's 40 years old. Amen. The clock is ticking. Amen. It's time we get him a bride. So he sends the servant out to get the bride and to bring the bride back. And this woman that said, I'll go with you, amen, to meet this man, amen. All the way back, he's telling her all the wonderful things about this man, amen, until she falls in love with him before she even meets him, amen, because that servant is telling her the truth. And if he's anything like this man is telling me, I can't wait to meet him. I can't wait to see him. Amen. She began to love him before she met him. And because she loved him, she began to long for him. She couldn't wait to get there. It was a long journey. It took a lot of time. But she began to have a longing for him. Amen. Listen, the Bible said, whom having not seen, ye love. Whom having not seen, you love. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't that incredible? We're talking about a Jesus we've never seen personally through our natural eyes, but everything we've heard about him and everything we read about him in Scripture, everything we know about him through our walking with him, we love him. Amen. Whom having not seen, you love. Why? Because the Holy Spirit constantly testifies of him. Tells us about him. Can you say amen? Glory to God. I used to like that camp meeting song, tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. You know what we need to hear in church? We need to hear more about Jesus. You know why God is sending our little old bitty broadcast out of this little bitty place all over the nations of the world? Because the name of the broadcast is, let's talk about the Holy Church of God. No, let's talk about the anointing on the pastor. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about politics. Let's talk about the right and the left and the, let's talk about Jesus. Can you say amen? God will promote that message. Can you say amen? God will send that message. Whether we're supported here or not, God is sending it. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, listen carefully. This is good stuff. If you've never fallen in love with Jesus, church has got to be the most boring thing in the world. Can you say, man, so much better things to do for your fleshly pleasure than come down here and listen to a preacher like me and sit in a place like this. Why, you could be at the bay today. Amen. You could be out on a boat today. You could be in the mall today. You could be in the theater today. Amen. Watching Pirates of the Caribbean. Amen. In 3D. You could be in a restaurant. Of course, church people do go to restaurants after church. I'll just tell you, you don't have to give that up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Just go to the Golden Corral. You'll see Baptists. That's one time God gets the whole flock together is at the Golden Corral. Can you say hallelujah. You'll see Baptists and Methodists and Episcopalians and Pentecostals all together, eating together. Amen. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. All the way back, she fell in love with him sight unseen because the servant just kept saying, where do you meet this guy? He's one of the kindest, sweetest, wonderful men. He treats women with respect. He doesn't treat them like sex objects. He treats them with respect, and he's going to love you. Don't make no mistake about it. Oh, by the way, you know what he did? Amen. Isaac said, I want her to know that you're listen, it wasn't about, say it with me before I say this, because I don't want you to get the wrong idea. Say it ain't about the bling. Some of you ladies need to say it with more conviction. Say it again. It's not about the bling. Can you say amen? Not you, but not you. Amen. See, she got some bling. Amen. It ain't about the bling, okay? Listen. Yeah, that's right. He brought gifts from Isaac. Gifts from Isaac. Gifts to give her. She was lavish with gifts. And what tested her wasn't the fact that, oh, I'm going to marry this guy because he's a sugar daddy. Amen. It's not about the bling bling. No, it was the fact what was being conveyed through those gifts was, this man has a generous heart. This man is giving. And he's not going to just give you some gold here. He's going to give himself to you totally. Amen. This man is not selfish. He's not just going to use you. Amen. Come on. You're not just going to be a sex object for him to use. He is going to love you unreservedly. Amen. And she said, if he's that kind of man, he's my kind of man. Can you say amen? And she hasn't seen him yet, but she's already fallen in love with him. She's fallen in love with the character. She don't even know if he's short or tall yet. She don't know if he's handsome or kind of homely. Amen. But what she knows is this man's character is so beautiful and so wonderful. If he's anything like I'm being told, I am already falling in love with this man. This man is going to be the love of my life. And then she couldn't wait to get there. She began to long for him. Everybody say long for him. See, there's something supposed to be in the heart of the church. Number one, whom having not seen, ye love with joy. Listen, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because love leads to longing. And she longed to meet him. She couldn't wait to meet him. Years ago when we were in radio, I remember we had a radio broadcast, the theme song that came on this Send the Light broadcast. Amen. Years ago, WINQ, the old station, looks like me now. It's kind of weathering over time. But it needs, you know, honestly, not me, but the station. Well, it's old as me, let's put it that way. Older than me. And that old station's dilapidated. Not that I am, but the station is. And I'm old as the station. I just got a fresh coat of paint sometimes to make me look better. If I wore clothes from way back then, you'd see me like the station. But we were on, I go by that station, and I look at that, and I said, there was our first radio ministry, and all of that was in preparation for this. That radio ministry didn't accomplish a whole lot that I could see, but it was all in preparation so we could do this that we're doing right now. Praise God. But we came on the air with a song from way back then, I Can't Wait to See Jesus, to look upon his face. I can't wait to see Jesus. Amen. That was our theme song. The hallelujah. I can't wait because loving brings longing. Loving brings longing. If somebody says they love you and they don't long to be with you, they don't really love you. But whom having not seen, we what? We love. Because the Holy Spirit testifies of him. And we used to sing that song, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Only people that love him can connect with me. Amen. You feel me? You feel me this morning? Amen. Everybody don't feel me when I say things like that. Amen. Because some people just go to church. They've never met Christ and they've never developed a relationship with him. They've never heard the Holy Spirit in their heart testify of his goodness, grace, mercy, his kind, generous heart. Amen. Hallelujah. His sacrificial love. You feel me? Church, do you feel me today? Glory to God. Dale, I know you feel me today. Hallelujah. Because my God is your God. My Savior is your Savior. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus, lover of my soul. Praise the Lord. Listen to me. She began to long for him. And when they got way off, she began to look for him. She began, everybody say, love him. Long for him. And look for him. And she's the servant. They got this caravan of camels, and she looked out and saw a man way off. You couldn't even distinguish him. There was a man way out in the field. She asked the servant, "Is that him? Is that him? Is that the guy you've been telling me about for all these miles and all of these days? That's him." And the Bible said she lit off her camel. That means she didn't, you know, like ladylike. Come on. Come on. She wasn't trying to be ladylike. She lit off her camel. Amen. And ran. to meet him. There's going to be a cry someday for those that love him and long for him and look for him. And you know what the cry is? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And honey, there's going to be no hesitation from the true church. Can you say, man, those that love him long for him. And those that long for him are looking for him. And the scripture said unto them that look, he shall appear the second time without sin unto glory. Can you? These are not people that are just standing always looking toward the eastern sky. These are people that love him, long for him, and every day of their life anticipate the day when he comes and we're with him forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Did you get it? Did you get the message? Listen to this. We'll hurry and close, but they've been predicting for years. Amen. The Bible also said that he would come as a thief in the night. So the message is readiness. Let me read you this. Luke 12, 39 and 40. Jesus said, "And this know, if the good man of the house had known the hour that the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour ye think not." Again, it kills this predicting thing. The message of this is 24/7. We're ready. How are we ready? Because we've met him as our Savior. Amen. We love him for what he's done for us. We long for him. Amen. And we look, therefore, for him. Amen. It would be like a thief if we could put this like this man tried to do, who has a wide ministry. Obviously, millions of dollars were spent on this. It's all down the drain. Amen. 5,000 billboards have to come down because there's no need paying rent on a billboard when it says the coming of the Lord was yesterday. Can you say amen? And a lot of people sold everything. I heard on the news a few people anticipating the end of the world that were already terribly depressed committed suicide. It's terrible when we start doing what the Bible said we're not supposed to do. Amen. But we are supposed to be ready and anticipate the soon coming of the Lord. If we could tell the day is coming, it would be like a thief. And the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. In an hour you think not. So the message, be ready all the time. You don't have to worry about that. Amen. Amen. But it would be like a thief saying, "I'm coming down your street," if we could pinpoint it. "I'm coming down your street robbing houses. I'm at the end of the street, and I'll be at your house about 2 a.m. Oh, I'll be at your house at 2 in the morning to rob your house." Well, that's not what the scripture teaches. The thief don't tell you when he's coming. If the good man knew when the thief was coming, he'd have stood at the door and said, "You ain't coming in here, old hoss." Amen. "I got my mace," or be like Medea, you know. Be like Medea. Amen. Prowler outside. Amen. Say, call 911. Say, "There's a prowler in my house." Say, "Okay, I'll send the police." "Oh, don't need no popo at my dodo. Send an ambulance." "She done went and got the gun." Can you say amen? "I don't need no popo at my dodo. Send the ambulance." Hallelujah. Amen. If a thief is coming to my house and he tells me I'll be at 2 in the morning, guess who's going to be at the door? Packing my peace. Yeah, pastor got heat. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah. I'll be there with my peace, standing at the door, say, "You're not coming here hurting my family, taking my stuff. You better go on down the street." Well, when we pinpoint the time of his coming, it's just like that. He said, "I'm not coming announced to where you know the time or the hour." So live in a state of readiness. Can you say amen? Every day of your life, live in a state of holy readiness and anticipation. I'm telling you, if you love him, you're longing for him. Because you can't love without longing. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you long for him, you're looking for him. Amen. And to them that look, he shall appear. Can you say amen? Praise God. How many are looking for the soon? Wait a minute. How many love him? How many long for him? Can you say, man, how many therefore are looking for Him. In spite of all the failed predictions, we live in a holy state of anticipation. Praise God. This is a true story. A man worked on a riverboat for 30 days at a time. And he couldn't wait to return home because he was in love. By the way, if somebody works on a riverboat 30 days at a time, and when they get off the riverboat, want to go fishing their first day back, that's not love. Your wife needs to be your best friend. Amen? Just telling you that because we've been married 48 years. My wife's my best friend. I got other friends, but she's the best one. I mean, you know, Jesus is the spiritual, but she is the physical partner to me. Listen, true story, as the boat approached home port, the captain announced, "Your wives are gathered on the dock. There's Bob's Mary. There's Tom's Betty." And he went on down the line. One man was disappointed because his wife wasn't there. He caught a ride with another couple. He walked into his house, and there was his wife who smiled and hugged him and said, "Hey there, I'm so glad you're home. I've been waiting for you." He replied, "Yeah, but the other guy's wives were watching for them." Can you say amen? See, we're all waiting, if you're a Christian, for the Lord to return. But the key here is, are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching? Waiting means when He comes, He comes. In the meantime, I just try to fill my life with everything I can to... No. It has to go beyond waiting to watching. And that's to where nothing is more important in this world than His coming and our going to live with Him forever. Not the gold or the silver or the sin. Can you say, man? There was a contemporary song back when I came to Christ, and I remember one verse kept ringing in my ear just after I came to the Lord, and it was one of those kind of wild, upbeat, contemporary Christian things. We were in the hippie era, amen. We were baptizing people with hair down to here, amen. I remember we baptized one young man. He had hair down to here, and we had baptism robes made out of, the ladies had sewn some sheet material, made baptism robes. But I'm going to tell you something about sheet material. You're supposed to wear something under it. Yes, you are. I thought everybody knew that. Amen. And I remember going down. We had a baptism tank at the Holy Church of God. Remember that baptismal tank? And you could see us, you know, they come down the ladder. And he'd come down the... He decided, you know, you put on the robe, you take off everything else. He took off everything, underwear, everything. And you know, he's a sweet guy. He's nice. He's just come to the Lord. You know, he's one of these hippie types, and he's just a happy-go-lucky Christian, just saved guy. And he come down the. I didn't pay no attention. He just had the robe on. I thought, well, he's got on a pair of jean shorts, or he's got on a pair of something under here, you know. And he come down, and he got down in the water, and I baptized him in the water in the name of Jesus Christ and of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I baptized both ways, so nobody thinks it don't take. You know, nobody can shake anybody. I just put everything is said. I say it all. Amen. Honestly, I did, because somebody say, however you, and they, you know, they split hairs over this, that, and the other, and forget the fact that Jesus' blood had been applied to that life. Can you say, man, that person experienced glorious salvation? Praise the Lord. And now, anyway, he come up out of the water, raised his hands, praise the Lord, and went back up the ladder. When he went up that ladder, honey, there wasn't nothing his mama seen that everybody didn't see out there. Amen. I mean, he mooned an entire Sunday morning congregation. Sunday night congregation. Kind of took the holy out of the whole thing. But God honored it because he was following Jesus. He just needed some underwear. Can you say amen? It was funny then, now, but it wasn't funny then. I was Indian for a little while. I turned red. But God took us through all of those things and moved and saved and delivered and healed and set free. The message today is to be also ready. For an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And how do you know if you're ready? If you've come to know Him as your Savior and you love Him for saving you. Amen. And if you love Him, you long for Him. And if you long for him, you can't help but look for him. And when she saw him, she lit off her camel. She jumped off that camel and she ran to him. Amen. And they embraced. They embraced. One of the most powerful love stories in the Bible that sets a pattern for the work of the Holy Spirit in our generation. When he comes, Jesus said he will not speak of himself. He's here to tell you about me. Can you say amen? And what he tells you about me is going to cause you to fall in love with me. And when you fall in love with me, you're going to long for me more than the things of this old world. Praise God. I still have a longing, but my longing is for the Lord. Tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. Can you say amen? And I go to church. I don't go to too many churches, but when there's opportunities, I have visited other churches. And I see people sitting in church that don't long for him. They don't long for him. It's a routine. It's a ritual. If there wasn't some kind of entertainment to entertain, just the mention of his name is not going to do anything for too many people. And they don't feel me when I come. They don't feel me when I come. I found a bunch of people that did feel my heart in loving Jesus, and I found them. Actually, I was driving. I'd been to a gym back in the day and trying to get back in again, but I'd been to the gym. I'd got a workout, had on my sweat clothes. I've told you this before. I'm driving down the road, and I see a bunch of young people, college age, and they're out raking up a yard and fixing up and just doing it. And I just felt to pull over. I just felt to pull over and tell them how much I appreciate it, because they had a sign up on a building that had been used for something else, and it was a Campus Crusade for Christ gathering place. And so I stopped, and these three guys and one gal, they come walking up to the car. And I said, listen, I said, I'm a Christian too. And I just wanted to let y'all know that when I see people doing something for God, particularly young people, it just stirs my heart. And I want to tell you that I appreciate whatever you're doing for God. I just wanted to tell you I appreciate seeing it. And they said, well, do you go to church here in Tampa? I said, yeah, I attend the Holy Church of God down in Sulphur Springs. And they said, who's your pastor? I said, well, I'm the pastor of that church. I said, I don't have on my pastor suit right now, but I'm the pastor of that church. What is your name? I said, my name is Robert Venable. They said, Robert Venable? I said, we got your tapes. Said, every time we need stirring up, we put your tapes on. We about wore it out, one particular one. And I thought, boy, what a coinkadink, right? Amen. No, God was doing something I didn't know anything about. They didn't know me from Adam's house cat, but I know one thing. I know they felt me. They felt what I felt for the Lord. And I came back, and they asked me to come and speak for them. And the guy that met me at the door used to be a bouncer when the strip wasn't Ebo City, when the place to party was down on Del Mabry. And he was a bouncer in a bar, but he'd come to know Jesus as his Savior. And I remember when I walked up to walk into to the gathering, he grabbed me, and he was so tall and so strong and so big. When he grabbed me to hug me, he had to pick me up. He picked me all the way off my feet and gave me this big bear hug. And I thought, boy, you know, this is different. These are young people. People look at my wife and I and say, well, they're old fogies. They've done sinned out. I'm going to tell you, you don't sin out. Can you say amen? You keep looking for that something till you find Jesus. Amen. But I remember preaching on, if any man be my disciple, let him take up his cross. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And they felt me. Amen. I had just ministered a month before at a gathering in a prominent Pentecostal church. Something similar about following Jesus. And they didn't feel me at all. People that had been in church for years, they didn't get it. It didn't stir anybody. Oh, but these brand new believers with that sweetheart love for Jesus, they got it. And they said, challenge us. Challenge us. Amen. This is a Christ worth committing to. This is a Christ that we love for what he's done for us. Praise God. And they told me after that service, said, we're invading the University of South Florida campus with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And said, when we get discouraged and we lose our momentum, we grab your tape and put it on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because They felt it. Hallelujah. Just like I'm telling you this morning, if you don't love Jesus, you're not longing for Him. So church is a hit and miss thing, and it can become a boring thing. Praise God. But if you love Him, you long for Him. And you want to hear more about Him. You want to get closer to Him. Praise God. And you look for Him. And to them that look, He shall appear. He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. They all missed it. But God's word doesn't miss it. Jesus is coming very, very soon. And the scoffing that we're hearing right now, amen, is fulfilling that great truth. Listen to Matthew 24, 27 through 36 in closing. You might best to cue up the Jesus song that we usually do. I see Him coming. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, Matthew 24, 27, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, till the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And this is the second coming. This is not the rapture, but listen to it. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then the tribes of the earth shall mourn and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Isn't it amazing? Says all the world will mourn because of Him. Because if you're not longing for Him and looking for Him, amen, then you're going to be facing Him as your judge and not your Savior. Amen? Listen to it carefully. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when you shall see these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. I'll tell you a little something about the fig tree. Figuratively, it's always the nation of Israel in the Bible. When you see a nation who hasn't been a nation for almost 2,000 years become a nation almost overnight, when you see the fig tree put forth her leaves, you know summer is nigh at hand. Can you say amen? There's a generation. Generations can be interpreted 40 years or 60 years, but it said there's a generation that shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Can you say amen? I was born in 1947. And this event, the fig tree putting forth the leaf, took place in 1948. 1948, a few representatives of the Jewish people walked into the United Nations and declared that they wanted to be recognized as a sovereign nation. And in 1948, it's like a nation was born overnight. And the most contested piece of land still on the face of this planet is about the size of New Jersey in the Middle East. Can you say amen? And it's called Israel. And it's the only piece of this earth. God, the whole world is the Lord's, but it's the only piece of land on this earth that God calls my land. Hallelujah. And the Jewish people and us who have become Christian, amen, are the only people on this planet, although He's creator of all, that He calls my people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, pinpointing, knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Can you say amen? So the message is today not to pinpoint His coming, but to live in the light of His soon coming. And to know, praise God, that if you're a Christian when He comes, amen, and you love Him and you long for Him, then you're going to be looking for Him. Can you say, man, you're not going to be looking to the world for your fulfillment. You're going to be looking to Jesus. Amen. And when the trumpet sounds, amen, the Bible said, behold, there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him. And immediately they trimmed their lamps and went out. I'm ready for Jesus to come. But if He don't come tomorrow, I'm ready to go to Him tonight. Amen. Either way, it's a win-win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you today. I want everyone in this room to know that you know that you know that you're saved, that you've done what God said you need to do to be ready for eternity. However it comes, whether He comes and takes us home or whether you go to be with Him, God wants you ready to live eternity in heaven with Him forever. And I'm going to ask anyone in this room with your bowed heads just for just a moment. This is not because we're ashamed. I just want people to be prayerful. Is there anyone in this room while we are praying and prayerful? Say, Pastor Venable, I want to be ready when Christ comes. I confess my sins here and now. I want to be ready should my heart stop here and now. Would you just lift up your hand? Let God see it. Thank God, yes. Thank God, yes, yes. Oh, Lord, you see these precious hands. Is there anyone else before we pray? Anyone else in this room? Yes, God sees that hand. This is so precious today. God wants you ready. God wants you ready. One of the things this missed prediction has done, it's made people start thinking again about the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Praise God. And about eternity and about being ready, being ready, being ready. This is how you become ready. Now open your heart right where you are and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul. Forgive my sin. I accept you as my Savior. Just say it right where you are. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sin. I repent before you right now. I want you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Praise God. God knows your heart. That's what He's looking for, is that open door to come in. Praise God. That open door to come in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's everybody give Him thanks today for what He's doing right now here and over the radio. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we sing this song, this great anthem of faith, this Maranatha song? Hallelujah. Jesus is coming soon. Will you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.